You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live here in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, somebody who's been a friend of the show many times in the past, and I think it's been too long since we've had him on, our former Congressman Mo Brooks, who served the 5th District of the state of Alabama for a number of years. He is on the line for us right now. Congressman, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Just got through swimming over in Lake Gunnersville. Beautiful day at the lake. When you got this kind of heat, that water feels good.
Yeah, it does. In fact, I think Boomer and I are sitting here kind of jealous right now, just to be honest.
And you ought to be.
Hey, Congressman, let me ask you something. So you spent time in the state legislature, I know. You've spent time in local office, and you've also served, obviously, in Congress. And I'm sure you've seen redistricting over the years. And right now, we've got this court ruling that is basically sending our state legislature back to the drawing board. They're going to have a special session coming up here in about 2 or 3 weeks. Your thoughts on where this is headed, and what do you think is going to happen with the drawing of the lines?
Well, first, the United States Supreme Court seems to have a multiple personality disorder. On one day, they rule that you must take into account race when determining congressional districts that in turn determine the laws of the land.
Yeah.
On the other hand, just a few days later, they say you cannot take into account race because that's racism when you're trying to determine who gets to go to which college and under what terms and conditions.
It defies
those
logic.
Decisions seem to, it's crazy. It's a multiple personality disorder. But in any event, that's the Supreme Court. What's going to happen? I have looked at this for many years. And, you know, this is not the first time that the possibility of being forced to draw two Democrat districts has come into play. And I don't know of any way you can draw two districts without taking a bunch of Democrat voters out of Mobile County, which in turn forces Jerry Carl to the east into the Wiregrass where Barry Moore lives. I mean, you got to have a certain population. Jerry Carl's district cannot go west. That's Mississippi. It cannot go south because that's the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Cannot go north because that's the very district that is going to be the new Democrat district that they're trying to create. He can't go due east because that's Florida, so he has to go through this little wedge to the east into the Wiregrass where Barry Moore lives, and that's a substantial population that Jerry Carl's district has to pick up. And so, bingo, you've got an incumbent versus incumbent race, which you have to have someplace if you're going to have two different Democrat districts, none of which are occupied by an incumbent Republican.
Let me ask you something just as an aside on that. I believe that the law does not require you to live in the congressional district you're running for. Is that true?
That is correct. That is not a requirement of the United States Constitution.
Wow.
So as long as you're a resident of the state, you can run anywhere you want in the state, and it's happened on occasion.
Okay.
Normally, not with very good results for the candidate who's done it, but occasionally they've even won.
Well, I mean, in this case, it's going to be weird. So we may wind up having two sitting incumbent Republican congressmen both running for the same district because their lines got drawn together.
Highly, highly probable unless somebody retires.
Well, so what are the odds of that? Do you think either Barry or Jerry are gonna say I'm throwing in the towel?
I don't see any of our six Republican incumbents going the retirement route. No signals to indicate that. No Senate seat to run for in 2024. So I think we're down to Jerry Carl versus Barry Moore. But maybe somebody can be creative and come up with something we could not foresee.
Well, and then, you know, there's any number of things that can happen, and then there's always a chance it could be challenged again. But I guess we'll wait and see on that. You know what's going to be an interesting dynamic, too, just talking politics with you for a second, if you don't mind, is
go ahead.
In the last go-around, when Jerry Carl won against Bill Hightower, he made the race less about him against Hightower, more about him against Club for Growth, which was supporting Hightower's race. Club for Growth being a very conservative organization, you're very familiar with them. And then Barry Moore, on the other hand, is in the same district potentially coming up with Carl. Well, he was a Club for Growth guy who won in his district with their support. And so you have to wonder, is this going to be a battle against Club for Growth if the two of them are going head-to-head?
I would expect that Club for Growth would participate on behalf of Barry Moore if there is a reasonable prospect of Barry Moore being competitive. And I don't know of any reason why it wouldn't be competitive. But Barry Moore is a House Freedom Caucus guy.
Yeah.
He is clearly one who puts America first. He's willing to sacrifice himself if it means doing the right thing for our country. And Jerry Carl is clearly of a different mindset. He's from the more liberal establishment wing of the Republican Party. So you'll have a classic matchup of the country club, more liberal establishment wing, whatever you want to call them. Some people call them rhinos, that wing of the party, versus what is clearly a conservative who has fought hard on deficit and debt, who's fought hard for our national security, who has fought hard against border security flaws that the establishment wing of our party loves to exploit on behalf of their Chamber of Commerce donors. So that's going to be the battle.
Wow. Well, that's going to be a battle royal. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how this pans out. I guess we'll know for certain coming up here in about, the 21st, I think their deadline, they have to have the maps approved, is the 21st of July. And then,
less than a month.
Well, it's going to be enough. Now, so you've done this before, too. I mean, I had to sit through redistricting legislative sessions because we had to redraw what we did in 2011. We had to redraw them again a few years later after the challenge. So I have seen this. I've seen the filibusters. I've seen I've been there for the votes. I've had to pull the cloture petition being on the Rules Committee. I'm sure you have as well. Your thoughts on the process?
Well, it's an interesting, very tense process because political lives are at stake. And almost always there is somebody who gets the short end of the stick just because the demographics or because of the population growth in one part of the state versus another. I've been involved in two legislative redistrictings, one or two county commission, two congressional, and it ain't pretty. Mm. It really isn't. And that's why the courts ought to stay out of it. And for a while there, I thought they were going to stay out of it and abide by the constitutional provision that says that state legislatures are in charge of it.
Yeah.
But once again, the courts have decided to reverse themselves and start intervening more actively in what is a purely political process, very little legal issues involved in it.
Well, you're right, and I think that really caught everybody off guard because my recollection was when the oral arguments had concluded, the sense was that the ruling was going to wind up coming back in Alabama's favor as opposed to the plaintiff's favor. And then, lo and behold, we got the opinion handed down, and that wasn't it. Now we're back to the drawing board.
Well, it might put a Nancy Pelosi lookalike in as our next Speaker of the House. So that's how important this thing is. It's not only us. It's also perhaps North Carolina. It is also, in high probability, Louisiana.
Yep.
And those are the three states that we know about where the Supreme Court or appellate courts have intervened based on the Supreme Court decision.
Well, which puts the entire slim majority that we currently hold at risk if the lines are drawn in such a way in those multiple states, correct?
Yeah, if you have to draw lines that elect Democrats, which is basically what the Supreme Court is saying, although they're using skin pigmentation as the criteria by which you determine that, then yeah, these rulings have probably cost Republicans 2 to 4 seats just in those three states, and who knows where it's going to impact elsewhere. And just as an aside, they don't ever rule in favor of Republicans. You don't see this coming up in California, where they've been gerrymandered to just about exterminate the Republican Party, or in New York State, where they've done tremendous damage, or Illinois. The courts only intervene when it's the Republicans who are making political gains because of the way legislatures have redistricted. So it's definitely a denial of equal protection.
Well, all right. I'll tell you what, Congressman, I think we covered that one. If you don't mind, we're going to take a break. Can you hang on during the break? I want to come back and talk to you. Great. Sure. I want to come back and talk to you after this break. You just went through something that I watched and thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. State school board member Wayne Reynolds decided to file an ethics charge against you, and we got that handled here recently, apparently. So if you don't mind, we'll talk to you about that when we get back from the break. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're with former Congressman Mo Brooks. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going right back to the phones now with our former Congressman Mo Brooks, who is enjoying a day on the lake and taking time to be with us anyway. Hey, Congressman, let me ask you something. So the story broke a few weeks ago that state school board member Wayne Reynolds took issue with your comments at one day in an interview and decided he was going to file an ethics complaint because as a voter for Katie Britt, he felt like you had maligned his character or I don't know what. And daggum. Anyway, this had to go before a review committee of the state Republican Party. What the heck?
Well, it was an effort to suppress freedom of speech, particularly speech that he disagreed with. And I don't mind him disagreeing with my comments. Everybody has a right to do that. But to accuse me of unethical conduct was way beyond the pale. And fortunately, the Alabama Republican Party's Ethics Committee just kind of slapped him around a little bit and rejected his complaint outright.
Well, and I mean, it was a little thin anyway. I mean, it's about anorexic in terms of having any body to it. But I guess he was making the complaint to the Ethics Committee for the party because you're now in a position of state party leadership, correct?
That is correct, apparently. Personally, I think that the reason he was doing it is because he wanted to assassinate my reputation, and this was a vehicle by which he could do it. If he just had a news conference say, hey, I disagree with Mo Brooks' comments on such and such, that doesn't get much media coverage. But if you suddenly say that someone has violated ethical rules of conduct and they're going to get hammered by some ethical committee or board, that gets media attention because it's salacious. Now, you know, I've got a beef with the way all this stuff works because I've been through about 40 of these things, probably a little bit more than 40 now, since I've been elected to the United States Congress. And these ethics committees and these ethics rules and these ethics bodies that are supposed to promote ethics, political foes have figured out that it's a great place to go and use as a political weapon regardless of the merits of your complaint. And so I've had complaints before the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, complaints before the body as a whole, or before the House Ethics Committee, before the Alabama Bar Association. Even when I'm not a practicing lawyer, I'm a United States Congressman. Eric Swalwell filed what was in effect an ethics complaint in a lawsuit in federal court in Washington, D.C., and every single one of them has been dismissed. But the goal was to get adverse publicity for somebody, some public official. And so the goal was achieved, even though they lost every single case.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an abuse of a system that is designed for the right reasons and used for the wrong reason too often. You're absolutely right. And I look at this whole thing, though, and I think, I mean, he had to. I know Wayne a little bit. He's been on the show in the past before. I've had to take issue with some of his comments on other things in the past. But I cannot believe that he looked at an interview you did in which he was not even named and decided to name himself as a complainant on something you said that he believed in some way impugned him as a mere voter, as if he had been influenced by China.
He also did not mention Katie Britt.
That's true, too. You're right.
That's the thing. He would say, hey, this insulted Katie Britt. And I'm going, wait a second. I didn't mention Katie Britt, and just FYI, I talked about me being the target of the Communist Chinese, and I'm not the only one, I should emphasize. There are others who have been targeted, pro or con. And by the way, not having mentioned any of my opponents, there were eight of them. So if I was in my head thinking about one of them, well, which one of the eight? I mean, it was bizarre. It was bizarre world. And my admonishment to Wayne Reynolds was, hey, you're on the government payroll. Our government-run school system needs a lot of help, needs a lot of innovation. Please spend your time on that. That's what we're paying you to do.
There you go. I agree. I did see, speaking of ethics, and this is going to be the state ethics board, that Senator Orr, Arthur Orr, who I know you know, Senator Orr is proposing legislation that would say you cannot have an anonymous complainant against you before the state ethics committee, that you have to be allowed to confront your accusers. Some folks say it has a chilling effect. I would tend to think, though, that it also makes sure that you can't have these spurious anonymous complaints becoming a weapon.
Well, it's embodied in the United States Constitution that you have the right to confront your accusers. So I'm glad that Arthur Orr is trying to preserve a constitutional right. Now, granted, it's normally in a criminal setting. But still, you can't have these clandestine, secret attack efforts on people and not give people at least the right to know who it is that's attacking you, so that if there is a hidden agenda, if there is a bad motivation, you can explain that to the decision makers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time, especially knowing that you've been out swimming in the lake and you took time away from that to give us a call. But we'll have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
I look forward to it. You have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you, sir. You too. That's former Congressman Mo Brooks, who is still in a position, by the way, of leadership within the state party. I believe he's the district rep now for that district, which I believe is the 5th district in the state. It's interesting to me how much of what we're talking about right now he's been through. And so I thought it'd be worthwhile, and it was, to get the former congressman, the former state legislator, the former county commissioner on the air to talk about having gone through redistricting. What does he see happening? And he's right. And he said it. It's going to wind up probably being handed back to everybody in the state to have a new map that's going to take two of our members of the Republican delegation to the U.S. Congress and pit them against each other in a race. And you watch, it's going to be a classic example of the far more conservative of the two being Barry Moore, who's supported by Club for Growth and has the Wiregrass as his hometown, basically. That's his home turf. And it's going to be interesting to see how Jerry Carl's district lines get drawn. Does he have to run with more support from the Wiregrass that he has to gain? Is he going to be less conservative branded as such? I believe he would. And then at the same time, how much strength does Baldwin County bring into it? Because they're a very highly populated county. It's going to be wild, y'all. In fact, I will just tell you this. For those of y'all that are political junkies, what we're about to see is the Wild West. This is going to be the OK Corral of political machinations. You guys stay tuned. All right, listen, we're going to go on, take a break, come right back, and jump on in and see what kind of text messages we got and dive into Dipper number 3 and now calling it Fake World. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.